Today we're talking about teamwork. Bobby Huffaker, a pastor friend of mine who is about my height, which I love because, you know, tall people like Josh, they make me feel bad. No, I'm just kidding. Bobby Huffaker from Hereford, Texas, used to talk like this. Teamwork, y'all, makes the dream work. That's what he'd say. He grew one of the largest churches in the Church of the Nazarene. Teamwork make the dream work. But here's the deal. As we all saw yesterday, teamwork was absent from one side of the football field. And the purple team won, which just kills me. Anyway, if you didn't watch the OU game, be blessed. All right, stand with me to your feet. Let's read the scripture together, because whether OU wins or loses, it doesn't matter. OSU won, whatever. But Jesus is still God. For I know the plans I have for you, read with me, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Now let's read the Ephesians verse that I've added for this week, Ephesians 4:16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The word of the Lord this morning. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So let's review, just as we're concluding our game plan series today. And so let's just review very quickly where we have been. Because we started a couple weeks ago and we said that if we're going to know God's plan, Christ has to be our life, not just a portion of our life or a thing that we do occasionally on a weekly basis on Sunday, but he has to be every part of our living. That we are, when we live our life in Christ, right? And if you read your bulletin, what is our mission statement? It says, life in Christ, that we are found only to be alive in him. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. So our life in Christ is where we started. And then that next week we said, but there's part of this plan, this knowing God's will, that has a couple of parameters. And if we're going to kick the field goal of life, then the first part we have to know is God's providential will, or his works. And the second part is we have to know his moral will, his ways. And when the place that we find God's providential work and the place that we find his ways, his moral will, is in his word. And if we are going to lean into God's plan for our life, we have to lean into his word. We have to lean into what God is asking us to do. So we look for his works in the world, things that are going to happen whether you happen or not. God is creator. God sent his son Jesus, and we sang about God's returning again, that he will come to judge the living and the dead. That's going to happen, church. Whether we're ready for it or not, whether we're prepared, God is going to do that. That's his work. His redeeming sacrifice. His moral ways are the ways in which we should shape our lives and our living through his character, through our character. And then last week, we talked about knowing your role, and we showed the clip from Leatherheads where the 360-pound lineman was playing kicker because he had a math teacher for a coach who didn't know anything about football, and he hooks one over the crowd, and he said, hooked it, right? Because he wasn't in the right spot. He wasn't in the right role, and we talked about being the body of Christ and sharing our gifts. Well, today we're going to talk about teamwork, because I want you to write this down. This will save you all kinds of time. Ready? This is why you came today. You are not meant to do life alone. You are not meant to do life alone, and neither am I. We are created to be part of a team. We are created to be on God's team. There is a place within us that has shaped us and called us into existence from the very beginning of time, from the fabric of the universe. God puts us together in our mother's womb. He knows the hairs upon our head. He creates us uniquely with special abilities and unique gifts that only we possess. But he says, those are not meant for just you. You know, how many of you have siblings? Anybody want to testify? How many of you hid things from your siblings so they wouldn't have them because they were going to break them? Anybody? How many of you knew that if you didn't hide your candy, your little brother Nate was going to eat your candy? Preach it. And interestingly enough, we are the most connected people on the face and history of planet Earth. And yet, we're the loneliest. Pew Research just did a study that said 81% of people do not know their neighbor's name. 81%. 5 years ago, it was 62%. 81% do not know their neighbor's name. Here's the interesting fact. You can be whoever you want to be in the World Wide Web. You can be on Facebook and have all these great personas, and you can fill out all this stuff, and you can have Twitter, and you can have Instagram, and you can have Snapchat, and all that other stuff. But we can be completely isolated and alone. And I guarantee you, if you walked into a room and took a pulse, and people were willing to be honest, because that's the first place that you got to begin. If people were really willing to be honest, there are a lot of days, even though we're surrounded by a ton of information and people, that people feel absolutely alone. And the hard part is, you can't even tell. Because we've gotten good at faking it, church. We've gotten so adept at playing the game that nobody knows we're out of position. One of the things that just I stood in awe of yesterday as I watched the TCU-OU game, it didn't matter what was going to happen on defense for OU. That quarterback from TCU had skills. He was in the right position, and he knew how to manage his agility and his speed, and he could break tackles that were just ridiculous, and he was in the right place. But here's the thing. What happened was just even more amazing than this, was down the field, the blocks that were taking place, because the people had gone into position and had gone ahead of him and had led the way for him to be able to move the ball. But here's the deal. Last week we talked about knowing the role. But a quarterback doesn't score without the rest of his team. You and I don't achieve what God has created us to achieve without the rest of the team. And we find ourselves doing the very best we can do to manage all kinds of things. And we have schedules, and we have family stuff, and we have this, and we have that. And where is there room for the team? Because it's overwhelming. And yet, research tells us we're the loneliest we have ever been. Rascal Flatts sings one of my favorite songs about sitting on the front porch drinking an ice-cold cherry Coke about Mayberry. What would happen if we would pause long enough to be the people of God? Psalm 133:1 says, "How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity." Not just together occasionally once a week, but live together in unity. You see, Kyle, I have a picture of a play, if you'll show that to me. There's a picture of a play that I have for you. And if you see, if these people don't do the right things on the O side of the ball, see, that's the offense. The O's are the offense. The X is the defense. If the O's don't move to those particular places, the dark circle O will not get to the place where that arrow is going, because there will be a breakdown in the offensive scheme. How many of you know this? That I am better at living the life Christ has called me to live with other people. I have a team. Let me read you some of their names. And this is not everybody, so I don't, if you get offended, I'm sorry for your offense. Personally, my team is Carrie, Doug, Trent, Darren, Rodney, Gene, Oscar, Michael, David, Bryce, Addie, Josh, Chapel. Those are people that are on my team. Those are people who call to me and say, "Nate, how are you?" Those are people in my life who speak into my life and say, "Nate, what's going on? How are you in Jesus?" Those are people who are in my life who I am then leaning into, and I am caring for and leading, especially in Bryce and Addie and Carrie and my home team. Who I am investing my life into to lead in a way that if we live the way that God has called us to live, I have the ability and the position to shape how they're going to be in the future with God's help. But if there's a breakdown in this team, research says that there's a breakdown in our children. If there's a breakdown in our home, then that will manifest itself in the family of God here. Because I have a couple positions that I am required to work at. One, husband. That is the number one call upon my life and role that God has given me to fulfill is husband. The second one is father. Trailing third
is pastor. But the reality is this, that I need other people in this family of God here to help me be a better father and a better husband and a better pastor, because I can't do it alone. First and foremost, we need more of God. We need the coach. Yesterday, I was wondering, where was the coach? We don't ever have to wonder where Jesus is. Jesus' address is this. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. Where Jesus lives is right within us. He has come that we might know him and have the power to live in and through him, because the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, living out what he has called us to live out. You don't do this alone, church, and neither do I, thanks be to God. You have a coach who's willing and able, on call all the time. He said you can do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably more than you ask, dream, or imagine, because he is with us. He says, lo, I will be with you even until the end of the age. So we have a coach who is calling out to us, who by his word, his playbook, his design is showing us how we should live. But then he's placed us within a family. I love Sprint's plan. And do you know they discontinued it? Kills me that they discontinued it. I thought it was hilarious. And so I wanted to show you what the family plan looks like. Go ahead and show that clip, Kyle. Here's the interesting thing about this family. Dad's a hamster, which is stupid and silly. And then brothers have like nothing in common whatsoever. And mom is married to the hamster, which is dumb as all get out. But the funniest thing is, they put this family together, right? This friends and family. And everybody can be a part of it. It took a cell phone company to speak the language of the church, where friends become family. Where the team, if you go back to the old TV show Cheers, where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. Our troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. You see, what's within us is this desperate need to belong. And not out of desperation's sake. Like there's somehow we're wired goofy and we go, oh man, I'm messed up. I just need people. No, the reality is that in the beginning, in Genesis, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 29, he says that he's created us in his image. In the image of God, he created them. And at the end of creation, after everything was said to be good, God says, stop, time out. It is not good for man to be alone. So he makes a helpmate. Did you know that the name of Eve is not translated as kitchen help? Did you know that? The name of Eve is not translated that way in Hebrew. Did you know that the name of Eve is translated to read the seer of weapons? Why? Because Adam couldn't see very clearly the weapons that would be formed against him. And he needed another helper that God creates. Now here's the deal. She ends up being the one who helps him not see the weapon formed against him, because they eat together, you know, the apple. But here's the thing. Or the piece of fruit, whatever it is. Here's the deal. We are created from the very beginning of time to be together. Life is better together. Life is designed that we would love one another just as Christ has loved us. In John's gospel, he says, and they will know you by this, by the way you love each other. By the way in which we, this family of God, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I like that better. By the way we love each other. Not everybody's quarterback. Not everybody has the same gift. And we talked about that last week. Not everybody possesses the same role or the same unique abilities that God has given them. But whatever they have possessed, whatever God has uniquely created them to do, whatever design they possess is a strategic place in the family of God. And when we don't lean into the family of God, when we don't lean into the teamwork, to being a part of God's family, there's a specifically shaped hole that has your mug on it. When we don't lean into being a part of God's family, when we ostracize ourselves, or we recluse ourselves, or we pull back from being a part of this family, what we end up doing is we create a space in which the family of God is weaker, because the team isn't all together. And when there's a breakdown in team, the play doesn't work. And here's what we end up doing. We isolate ourselves all the more. When we struggle, when we have hard things happening in our lives that we are dealing with, more often than not, we pull back instead of leaning further in to God's family. Because we have concerns. If you think this family of God is perfect, we're not. We aren't. Look at your neighbor and say, we're not perfect. Now look at your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. Who here, ready? Who here is perfect? Raise your hand. Guess what? We try to be all day long, don't we? Some of us try to be every I dotted, every T crossed all the time, and we try not to screw up, and we try to do everything to the nth degree, and we have high expectations and all that stuff, and then we end up not doing and coming through when we think we should. And what we end up doing is we end up looking at the family of God and going, you know what? I can't be real there because I don't know if that's going to be used against me. You know, we all share that same struggle, and yet the place where we need each other most is when we're struggling most. The place where we need each other to be the family of God, to be the team that we need, is when we can't necessarily complete all the assigned tasks that we have been given or the things that we have been called to do. We can't do those things. And we need the team of God to come beside us and to rally us. I hate mixing metaphors, but I'm going to. I love baseball. How about the Kansas City Royals? The eternal cellar dwellers are in the playoffs, and they have had an extra inning game, like the last three games they've played, and they're nail biters, and it is awesome to watch. They were counted out, discarded. Nobody at the beginning of the season would have believed that they could have done what they're doing right now. But they came together as a team and decided they were not going to let the past define them. They were going to do their very best every night so they could play with the skills and abilities they had been given to play. C.S. Lewis writes this: to love others is to be vulnerable. Love anyone and your heart will be wrung out and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even a pet. Wrap it carefully around the hobbies and the luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock your heart up in your soul in a casket or coffin of yourself. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. One of my favorite Beatles songs is Eleanor Rigby. It says, ah, look at all the lonely people. Father McKenzie, doing what he does, preaching a sermon that nobody wants or needs to hear. Ah, look at all the lonely people. My guess is that from time to time, we all have found ourselves in that place of being alone. And what we needed most were God's people to show up in our lives and be there when we needed to see him most. There's a blog that I read this week by a little girl with leukemia. It's kind of been near and dear to our hearts because there's a little girl in our school who's fighting leukemia. She's a pre-K student. And so I've been following some different blogs and some different things, and this mom was writing about some storms that happened recently. And there was a tree that had fallen in the middle of the night, and it had fallen on the house, and it had landed on the roof, and it hadn't quite crashed through. It had done some minor damage, and it hadn't gone all the way through the roof, and she just began to unload a little bit in her blog, how struggle and just all the things that are going on and all the care that is being done for her daughter, and Molly is the daughter's name, and she just is beside herself thinking, one more thing, how in the world can we just have one more thing like this go on? And then she began to calm and her writing changed, and then she said, I went outside that morning and I saw that there was one branch that had caught the tree, and it had kept the tree from falling further, and had it fallen any further, it would have gone through my son Carter's room. And she said, I began to see God's amazing grace in this small branch that somehow miraculously was holding up this tree, because there's no way this little bitty branch should hold all the weight of this big, ginormous tree from coming into our roof, and it spared my little boy's life. And she said, then I was reminded, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, fruit will abound. And she said, the branch amazingly enough held up the tree, and then she began to talk about her church group coming in, chopping up the tree and taking all the pieces away. But she said, I learned that day the lesson that the Lord wanted me to have. She said, I am to be that branch. When everything comes crashing down, I am to be the branch that leans further into Jesus and his strength and his power for my family, for other people, just like they have done for us and Molly as we've gone through this terrible ordeal. You see, back to football for a moment. Vince Lombardi said, it's easy to take great players and have them play football. It's difficult to make great players play as a team. The reality for us today, church, is that we are called to be a team. We are called to be the branches that reach out and catch the load that some other folks are carrying. And then there are days when we will need the branches to catch us. There will be days when it seems like everything is wrong in the world, and all that you have is this respite called Silver Creek Church, where you come and they know you by name. And every time you gather, they're glad that you were here. No matter your struggle, no matter what the world says to hide yourself behind on Facebook, that you come in the real you, exposed and raw, places where if everybody knew all that stuff, you would freak out. But when we're vulnerable, when we're real, you see that this is when we're really the people after God's own heart. Because let me tell you about Jesus' address. He lived among sinners. He ate dinner with tax collectors. He redeemed the broken prostitute at his feet and told her to go and sin no more. He chose a ragtag group of fishermen, tax collectors, zealots like military people, and people that nobody else would choose to be his team. And through his team, he ends up changing the world. If you want to be on God's plan for your life and get into the game, first, he's got to be all that you have and all that you are and all that you ever hope to be. All in with Jesus. Two, know his works and his ways. Three, know what you have uniquely been created to do, because the passion that you have for God's gifting in your life is what God is going to leverage for his kingdom glory. And four, no more Lone Rangers. We are designed to be together, on mission, on purpose, with our passions, with other people, Christ in us, church. That's God's game plan. We are better together. We are better together. The needs that we share, the love that we have, is better expressed together. Bow your heads with me, please. Take a moment and hear this word and make it your prayer from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. It's Paul writing. It says, for this reason, I kneel before my Father, from whom every family in heaven and or earth derives its name. I pray, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we will be rooted and established in love, that we may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses even knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God himself. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.